This program was originally broadcast in 1997.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Carlene Ray. She's a complete woman of jazz, bassist, pianist, singer, and teacher who leads a very exciting musical life, fulfilling her varied and always inspiring engagements. So, Carlene, what's going on with you right now? What are you doing?
Well, at the moment, I've been participating in the musical performance accompaniments to the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. I've been doing this since 71 when Mary Lou first got me in on it because they were doing her mass.
Mary Lou Williams.
Yes, Mary Lou Williams. And so that's how I got involved with the Alvin Ailey Company in the first place. And Alvin had heard the recording that Mary did and wanted to choreograph some of parts of her mass. And so that's how I got to meet him, too. Because she invited me to come
gig.
And play with her, yeah.
Such a wonderful gig for you.
Yeah, I was in seventh heaven, believe me when I tell you.
Well, were you in the pit?
Yes, we were in the pit. And actually what we used to do was play a prologue of some of Mary's own compositions before the evening's dance program began, you see. So we would play something, whatever she chose to play, you know. And then somewhere in the evening, during the evening, her mass would be performed. And I also got to sing two of the vocal solo things. One of them was the setting of the Lord's Prayer. The other one was a tune called Lazarus.
Oh, and, I think I've heard that one.
Yes.
Boy, isn't that? That's really terrific.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? What other kind of gigs
well,
are you into?
Well, I have been subbing for some of my very esteemed colleagues. At the new school, I sub for Junior Mance. He teaches a blues course, and then when he goes out of town, he calls me to cover for him if I'm available.
To teach. Well, you know what would be fun to do right now, Carlene? I would just love to play a tune with you.
That would be
bass
fabulous.
Bass and piano.
Great.
Can we do that?
Sure.
All right, pick a tune.
Well, okay. What about In a Sentimental Mood? You want an Ellington
tune?
I
love it.
Yes.
Okay.
One of my favorites.
All right.
Okay.
I guess Neil Hefti wrote that tune, and that
yes.
was a great piece for the Basie Band, wasn't it?
Oh, boy, was it ever. And that's when that's the only band that I ever really heard play it that I, you know, and it got my attention right away.
Well, you must have played it a million times with different
groups. With different people, oh, yeah, I have.
But it's a hard tune to play. Actually, I didn't even play it as slow as a lot of times people play it, like dead slow.
Yeah, well,
but it's hard to do.
Well, you have to sort of have your internal clock going, you know, and keep the time yourself. Of course, in a rhythm section, everybody's, you know, helping to keep the pace going. I remember when I was playing with Ruth Brown, we used to have to do that a lot because when she sings a ballad, she sings a ballad very slowly, and you really have to, in your mind, you know, keep your internal clock going so you can always know exactly where you are and where she's going to come in and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I guess these are the kind of things that you would teach students.
Or... Exactly right. Yeah, when you're teaching especially instrumentalists how to play behind a singer, you know.
Yeah, now that must be a career all its own.
Well, yes, accompanying singers is very interesting. In fact, when I was teaching at the William Patterson College, I used to help the little quartets, like at the end of the day, you'd have your singer come in for a private lesson, and at the end of the day, you'd have the whole quartet, you know, like a piano, bass, guitar, and drums, that sort of thing. And then I would coach them as to how to sing behind a particular singer, or little tricks to look out for, and what to do and what not to do, as I see it as a member of the rhythm section, you know.
Sure.
So, I mean, I was just having my cake and eating it, too, you know. I mean, helping the singer, then I helped the instrumentalist. Oh, I'm in my element then. I mean, I really enjoy that because I learn so much from the students, you know.
Of course.
It's the kind of teaching is the kind of thing where you transmit information, but you also get so much back from the students when you're willing to listen. You have to listen to the students because they have things that they like to talk about, too. And that way you can learn how to help other students, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to hear you sing some more. And we're going to do what? But Beautiful?
Yes.
And you're going to sing.
Yes,
and I'm going to get to play for you. So.
All right. That's right down my alley.
We'll see how I make out, if I get an A or not.
Okay.
It's a good thing or it's bad, but beautiful. Beautiful to take a chance, and if you fall, you fall, and I'm certain I wouldn't mind at all.
That's such a great song, but Beautiful. Beautiful, and
yeah.
I never know who wrote these things. Who wrote that one?
Jimmy Van Heusen, and his partner was Burt. I don't know Mr. Burke's first name, but nevertheless, it was Van Heusen and Burt.
Jimmy Burke.
Jimmy
yeah,
Burke.
I think so.
All right.
So how do you pick these things?
Depends on, I mean, there's something about a tune that, this is the way I tell my students, too, when you pick a tune that really moves you or you can relate to it in some way or other, or you like the tune, you like the words, it sets well in your voice or whatever, you know. But there are so many different elements that are involved in choosing a tune. But I think, first of all, you got to like the tune.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you don't like it, you're not going to do a really good job on it. Or like, you know,
it's
not going to be a really natural reaction to what you're doing. You know.
No, you really sing that as if you love it. Well, what are you, a contralto?
I'm a contralto. Yeah, when I was studying at the Manhattan School, I studied with John Brownlee, who was at that time...
famous guy.
Yeah, he was a leading baritone at the Metropolitan Opera, and I was there on a scholarship. And so he used to call me his favorite baritone.
Well, you know something. Somebody calling you on the phone, do they ever...
Oh, sir. Oh, I get called sir all the time.
Really?
Yeah. And if the person doesn't see me, they laugh. You know, they think I'm kidding them or something like that, you know. But until they see me, they see that I'm female, you know.
Well,
but
no,
I can't help that.
You know, I was interested, having been through so many little events myself to do with being a woman player. You must have a few... interesting recollections of...
Well, I can think of one right quick. You know Wally Richardson, the guitar player?
Yes.
Guitarist?
Yes.
Well, I had a gig with him one day. This is back in the 60s. And we were over in the Bergen Mall over in Jersey in a club or something there, an auditorium in any case, and we were getting ready to play this gig. So I had my amp and I had my bass on my shoulder. And so this must have been one of the club members of the organization that we were going to play for. He said, "Oh, hi, are you the singer with the band?" I said, "No, sir, I'm the bass player." He said, "Ah, ha, ha, ha." He laughed. So I didn't say, "Okay." Well, I said, "Well, if you don't believe me, that's it."
You mean
so,
he thought there was...
He thought I was kidding him. He thought maybe I was carrying the instrument for somebody else.
Oh.
So when we got downstairs into the club, we had to go downstairs on the elevator. And so after the first intermission that we took, he came over and apologized. No, see, I don't contest anybody about... I just do my job, you know, take my money and go home. You know?
Oh, but you must have got some of those things like that I used to get years ago. Oh, you play good for a woman, or a girl. Or you sound just like a man. You used to get that one, too.
Yeah, well, I have gotten that from time to time. But then there have been some people who have just stood there and not, they see me playing electric bass and they say, well, gee, I see her playing an electric bass, but I hear I get an acoustic feeling, you know, which was what I was trying to do when I was playing electric bass. That's why I was motivated to go just, you know, and learn upright, because my motivation for playing the instrument at all was because I wanted it to sound as much, although it couldn't really, but to get the feeling of as though someone was hearing an acoustic bass, and a lot of people, not a lot of people, but a good many people would tell me, you know, even though I see you playing electric bass, I get the feeling that you're playing it upright. I said, thank you very much. That's what I'm trying to achieve, yeah.
And I also used to hear people, not about myself, but about your instrument. Like, I don't like to see a woman playing the drums, or I don't like to see a woman playing the bass. And it was usually a woman that would say that. I mean, it's a woman in a man's world, as they still say. And... Jerry Dodgen told me a funny story about his wife, Dottie Dodgen, the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were speaking to somebody, I think they were in Italy, and this guy was telling Jerry that he heard some marvelous drummer somewhere. And Jerry said, "Oh, my wife Dottie is a drummer." And the guy says, "Oh, no, I mean a real drummer."
yeah, you get that kind of thing.
But, you know, like...
But, you know, let me say this. I say to a lot of people when they start talking about the difference between, and is there any really difference between male musicians and female musicians, I say, close your eyes and listen to someone play and see if you can tell me the gender of the person that's performing.
Speaking of that, now, aren't you currently with a all-women... Mm-hmm. Jazz
yes.
group.
That's something that just happened. Yes, Jazzberry Jam is the name of the group.
I love that name, Jazzberry Jam.
Name? Yeah.
Well, you know, I've got a little blues thing I could play for you, if you like.
I'd love to hear you play something.
Well, it's funny. I wrote this thing a while ago, and I didn't realize that I think Scott Joplin already had a tune called Solace, and I thought that was such a good title. You know, then afterwards I was a little crestfallen when I found that out. So I have to change the title.
Yeah. It
would
be interesting to know what you'd call it, what you'd change it to.
Maybe you'll give me an idea.
Okay.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.